thank you, Lord, for the privilege of sharing with you another Way of Truth broadcast. This service originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. Wherever you are listening to this international broadcast, this is Alvin A. Craig, and we welcome you. The Apostle Paul said, "The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." So we're thankful for the privilege of sharing the gospel with you today, and we're certainly thankful that you are a part of our congregation, and we trust the Lord will make our service a real blessing to you. So we invite you to stay with us as we bring you the gospel on today's Way of Truth broadcast.
Is one that comes.
Our Heavenly Father, we're truly thankful for the privilege of presenting Thy Gospel on this broadcast today. We're trusting that the Holy Spirit will accompany it and make it a blessing to each one in our congregation. We know that You see each one. We know that You love them. We know that Jesus died for them. So we pray that You'll take us and use us as a servant of God, that we can please You, and this congregation shall be blessed by Your word and by Your Spirit. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
The kingdom of peace.
Our subject for today's broadcast, A Chosen Generation, A Holy Nation. And our text of scripture is 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. And here we read, But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him that hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. And in connection with this scripture here in Peter, 1 Peter, I would like to read a verse out of Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 6. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God has chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all that are upon the face of the earth. In the Old Testament, Israel was God's chosen or covenant people. And we would like to look, first of all, at Old Testament Israel, and then later look at New Testament Israel. God called a people through Abraham and his seed to be a special people unto himself, as I have just read from Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 6. They were the fewest and not the most. God did not set his love upon them because they were more in number, for they were the fewest of all people. So Deuteronomy 7 and 7 tells us, they were to be a chosen generation, a holy nation. Now, Old Testament Israel was a literal nation. And we need to keep that in mind as we study the Old Testament and the scriptures pertaining to the nation of Israel. They were a literal people, and they were governed by kings after the judges had governed them for some time, and then they were governed by kings. But we find that they've drifted away from God. They began to worship idols, and they turned to other ways other than God's true way. And God had to pour out his wrath upon them. First of all, the kingdom was divided after Solomon died, and the northern kingdom of Israel did not have one good godly king. And eventually, they were carried away by the Assyrians into captivity. And Judah and Benjamin, forming the little kingdom of Judah, with retaining the capital there at Jerusalem, they too turned away from God and began to worship idols. In fact, on one scripture, God said that they were doing worse than the Israelites had done. And so God allowed the kingdom of Babylon to come and to carry many of them away into captivity. So God dealt with Old Testament Israel and because they were a literal nation. And all you had to do to be an Israelite was to be born in an Israelite family. But let's look at the New Testament, because there is a definite difference in the New Testament Israel and the Old Testament Israel. And that's what a lot of people who teach a literal kingdom of a literal reign and God's, the Jewish people, the Hebrew people, still God's chosen people, they don't seem to understand or to comprehend that there was a definite change. The old covenant expired and the new covenant came into effect. And God's Israel in the New Testament was different from God's Israel in the Old Testament. Now we have here in our text of scripture in Peter, you are a chosen generation. Yes, a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people that you should show forth. And that word peculiar there should be understood as a separate people, that you might show forth of the call, the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Now, who was Peter speaking of here in our text today? Peter and an apostle of Jesus Christ to the strangers, and that's to the saints, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1. So this included Gentiles as well as Hebrews. Now, the Old Testament Israel were the Hebrews, but here in the New Testament, God's Israel is made up not only of the Hebrews, but of Gentiles as well. So this holy nation that Peter is talking about, and the letter that he has addressed to them, is to those who were redeemed, those that were truly children of God, whether they be Hebrews or whether they be Greeks or whether they be Gentiles. All have been saved from all malice and all guile, according to Peter in chapter 2 and verse 1. Yes, all of God's Israel in the New Testament have been saved. They have been redeemed from all their sins, from all malice, as we read here in 1 Peter, the second chapter. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. And so God's New Testament Israel are those who have been saved from all sin. Now, you could be a member of the literal nation of Israel in Old Testament times without being a true servant of God, simply because you were born in an Israelite family, but not so in the family of God or in the New Testament Israel. This separate people were to show forth the praises of Him who had called them out of darkness into His marvelous light. The kingdom of darkness is ruled over by Satan. The kingdom of light is ruled over by Jesus Christ. And we are to show forth the praises. We are to worship God in the beauty of holiness. We are to worship Him in spirit and in truth, such as the Father seeketh such to worship Him, as will worship Him in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So we're to show forth the praises of Him who has called us out of darkness into this marvelous light. And we are to make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. Now, we are to praise Him, and we are to worship Him, and we are to serve Him, because He has called us to be servants of the Most High God. What a blessing and what a privilege it is to be delivered out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Yes, the experience that Jesus spoke of when He spoke about the broad road and the narrow way. We are taken off of the broad road, the way of destruction, and we are put on that narrow way that leads to life eternal. So God, in this New Testament age, delivers us out of the kingdom of darkness. He takes us out of that horrible pit and from the miry clay, and He sets our feet upon a rock, and He establishes our going. Old Testament Israel was no longer an exclusive chosen people. And I do want to emphasize that fact, because so many people today do not seem to understand that. In this New Testament age, And so under the new covenant, God has made us all one. There's no difference between the Jew and the Gentile, or whenever it comes to salvation and the possibility of being saved and being a part of God's Israel. So Old Testament Israel is no longer an exclusive chosen people, as some people would have you to believe. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So Paul wrote to the Galatians, chapter 3, verses 28 and 29. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. So Paul said in Romans chapter 2 and verse 29. Yes, the literal circumcision was a covenant between Abraham and his descendants. But Paul is pointing out the fact here that it's not a literal circumcision that really counts and is required today, but it is the circumcision of the heart. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. So the circumcision of the heart means that you have been saved, you have been delivered from sin, and you have a pure heart, a clean heart, and you are a part of God's holy nation. A holy nation? To be a part of this New Testament holy nation, you must be called out of darkness and into the marvelous light of the gospel. You must be born again, even as Jesus told Nicodemus. While we have this marvelous light, we must walk in it. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Fellowship comes about, first of all, by being a child of God, by being born of the Spirit of God. And the born-again experience is what puts you in this New Testament Israel. And we are to walk in the light. If we have fellowship with God, we have fellowship with Christ, we should have fellowship with one another. And this fellowship is based on the fact that we do walk in the light. Notice what we have recorded here in Revelation chapter 21, verses 9 through 11. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Now, this city that John saw coming down out of heaven is not a literal city that's going to be set down over there in Palestine. If you find the dimensions of this heavenly Jerusalem, you'll find that it's far greater than the entire nation of Israel today. So here we're not talking about a literal city coming down out of heaven like the millennialists would have you to believe. This new Jerusalem is the heavenly Jerusalem, the church of the firstborn, as we are told in the 12th chapter of Hebrews. Yes, this church, this heavenly body, came down from heaven, as it were. It's heaven born, it's heaven built, not literal. It's not a literal kingdom. No, it's a spiritual kingdom, and it was not organized by man, but it was built by, or is being built by, Jesus Christ. Having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Jesus Christ said, I am the light of the world. And before he left to return to the Father, he said to the disciples, you are the light of the world. And so the Church of the Living God is the light of the world today. To leave the truth is to leave the light. To leave the light is to leave God. For God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So 1 John 1:5 tells us. So we must walk in the light to have fellowship with one another. We must walk in the light to have God's approval upon our lives. To be a part of this holy nation, I say again, we must be born again and live a holy life. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of living. So Peter said in 1 Peter 1:15, to be a part of the literal nation of Old Testament Israel, all you had to do was to be born an Israelite. And you had no choice in the matter at all. No, you had no choice. But to be a part of spiritual Israel, you must make a choice. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves, servants to obey, as servants that you are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. Romans 6:16. The people of God, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. 1 John 3:1. We say brother and sister around here because we are members of the same family, the family of God, a part of New Testament Israel. Thank God for the privilege of being a child of God and a part of God's spiritual Israel today. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll bless these thoughts to our precious congregation. Make them a blessing to souls. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, it would be an encouragement to us if you'd take time to let us know that you hear and appreciate our broadcast. And our postal address is The Way of Truth, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. The Way of Truth broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address, truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. I'd like to invite you to be with us in our services. They are broadcast live over the Internet. Sunday morning service begins 20 minutes before 11, our evening service at 6. Our webpage address again, www.wayoftruth.org. And now this is Alvin A. Craig inviting you to be with us on our next broadcast. And until then, may the Lord's blessings abide.